An American coalition of agricultural workers has been presented with an award from Anti-Slavery International, the world's oldest human rights organisation. Founded to combat the slave trade in the 19th century, the London-based organisation is dedicated to fighting the modern and often more insidious forms of slavery which continue to plague countries across the world today. The 2007 Anti-Slavery Award has been presented to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which is leading the fight against forced labour amongst agricultural workers in the United States. Based down in Florida, the coalition has successfully targeted some of the world's largest food corporations, demanding that they take action to stop slave labour in their supply chains.
When we speak of slavery, we're speaking of slavery that meets the legal definition under U.S. federal law.
Laura Germino is anti-slavery coordinator for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. She told me more about how the organization began back in the early 1990s.
Yes, it was a few dozen workers getting together to reflect on their reality and analyze on how they could act to begin to change what they were seeing. You know, what they were experiencing, the sub-poverty wages, no benefits at all, meaning no health insurance, no sick leave, no pensions, nothing that you would see as a normal work arrangement in other industries, no right to overtime, no right to organize. The farm workers are formally excluded from the right to organize or the right to overtime under federal law.
You say these are farm workers. What kind of work are they doing exactly, and what kind of conditions are they actually working in?
Farm workers in Florida, the most significant crops are tomatoes and oranges. So they pick tomatoes and oranges in Florida for 8 or 9 months of the year, and then they go north to follow the harvest in the summer months to the northern states as far as New York, and then coming back down to Florida again. And it's back-breaking, grueling work in the broiling sun. And, for example, in tomatoes, you pick a 37-pound bucket of tomatoes for roughly 45 cents a bucket. And it's the same, virtually the same piece rate per bucket that you get paid as it was 30 years ago. These are large agribusinesses that supply fruit and vegetables to transnational, transglobal corporations like the fast food industry and the supermarket industry, like Burger King, like Subway, the chain Subway, like Tropicana. These are fruits and vegetables that go all over the world.
And part of your campaign has been trying to target these global corporations and make them responsible for doing something to end the slave labor that's going on down in Florida.
Well, what we have is that there are these terrible conditions, exploitative conditions in the fields that create a climate that enable forced labor or modern-day slavery to take root. And the large corporate buyers who are being supplied with these vegetables have enormous market power. They buy at a very high volume to get a low price, and they are able to set conditions for health and safety standards or other kinds of standards. They could easily set standards as well for human rights, for labor standards for workers. And that's why we've had success so far in our national campaigns, where now we have two large corporate buyers, the Yum Brands chain, which owns Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut and other restaurants, as well as McDonald's, who after our national campaigns have come on board and made historic agreements to both pay more money back down the supply chain so that the farm workers harvesting the produce can earn more than a sub-poverty wage, as well as agreeing to developing with worker participation a code of conduct for suppliers that raises the labor standards for the workers.
When you say some of these workers are being paid sub-poverty wages, it's also worse than that in some cases, isn't it? There are also people being forced to work for nothing. Is that true?
Yes, the majority of workers earn, let's say, an average of $10,000 a year, which is below the poverty level in the U.S. But then there's an all-too-significant percentage who are actually held in forced labor. They're unable to leave. They're held against their will. Employers use violence, including beatings, shootings, pistol whippings, assaults, and threats of violence, such as threats of death to families back home, to ensure that workers don't leave. And they're told that you owe a debt and that you're not free to leave until you pay off that debt. But then you end up earning little or no pay. We've had people in forced labor operations telling us that they earn $0 a week or $20 a week, $40 a week. And these are cases that after we uncovered and investigated them, the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division in the U.S. prosecuted the employers for on slavery charges in federal court. And the employers were found guilty.
How do the workers end up in these appalling conditions?
From poverty. People are desperately looking for work. It's the idea that you can have a job where you'll be able to make a decent living and support your family. And traffickers, that is the people who hold workers against their will, take advantage of that vulnerability. But whether it be immigrants who are coming over from Guatemala, Mexico, or in the most recent case we dealt with, it was homeless U.S. citizens who were promised a roof over their heads and a job. They were recruited at homeless shelters. So it comes from both people being desperately poor and needing to work, therefore being vulnerable, and then the reason that the slavery operation is actually able to take root and thrive is because of the extreme imbalance of power between employers and workers in the agricultural industry.
The data is very difficult to obtain on this, as you can imagine. However, groups like Immokalee Coalition and Catholic Charities here in the diocese continually look to the problem to try and get at the roots of the difficulty and to confront the growers.
Bishop Frank DeWayne heads the Diocese of Venice in Florida, where the Coalition of Immokalee Workers is based. He says the church has been very supportive of these efforts to stamp out forced labor and trafficking.
Many times with forced labor, the difficulty is to get to the real root of the problem, because the worker themselves is afraid to talk. Many times they're not here legally anyway. So they realize they're in trouble, and they tend to become very quiet. And so to get to the root of the problem, who is trafficking in the workers, that is very difficult.
What kind of support can the church offer in this context?
Well, I know that in our parish down in Immokalee, which is called Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Catholic Charities has a center there, and the priests who are there are all Spanish-speaking. Now they have, and we also have one Haitian priest, because some of the workers are coming from Haiti also. They have regular contact with the people and are very much out, and the people are coming to Catholic Charities for assistance. They hear a great deal of where the difficulty is, who they try and stay away from. And with such leads as this, we're able to ourselves investigate and look into some situations where their workers are not treated justly, but particularly also to sometimes indicate that this particular individual, it has been suggested the person might be working with trafficked laborers.
To the people in the more wealthy areas of your diocese, though, it must seem almost impossible to believe that there are so many people being exploited, being trafficked, and really working in slave-like conditions.
Well, you're absolutely correct on that, Philippa. It's a well-to-do area that they do find it difficult. You know, I think there's a tendency in the United States to think that slavery ended. And we all know of Abraham Lincoln, and we go back any number of years. Well, it has not in some very sophisticated ways. Sophisticated in the sense where individuals are trafficked in, they're working hard and long hours, their passports are taken away, they're basically held prisoners. So this phenomena is still around, and you are correct. Many people just, even if I bring it up, they'll say, oh, that doesn't exist here. But it does, and you try and indicate, you know, it's just down the road, really. You don't have to go very far. And you have the phenomena of a modern-day slavery.
when you talk to U.S. press, for example, it's very easy for them to absorb that there's child slave labor going on in the Ivory Coast, say, in the coffee industry, or that there was. But when you say, well, it's actually going on here in the U.S. as well, there is an automatic initial reaction of disbelief. And it's really because it's extremely troubling that it's still going on in the U.S. in the 21st century. And at the same time, though, once that awareness has been raised in the American consumer's mind, they're absolutely outraged, and we've had an enormous groundswell of support of allies from the faith-based groups, student population, just your average consumer, in saying, I don't want to participate in modern-day slavery in the food I eat or in the clothes I wear or in the coffee I drink in any way.
You say you also work together with faith-based organizations. Are there particular churches that have come on board this campaign?
The United States Catholic Conference of Bishops has shown that they're extremely interested in seeing justice prevail in the agricultural industry. It's been something that's helped us incredibly over the years. The Catholic Church has been with us for over a decade now. And then the Presbyterian Church USA has devoted an enormous amount of time and resources and mobilization of parishioners as well. They're out marching with us, writing letters, participating in the boycott once resolutions have been approved. It's moral support, which is incredibly important.
I do believe the church, particularly in the southern rim of the United States, is involved, is attentive to this. I know with my contacts with the Immokalee Coalition itself, to support them in what they do. I was very pleased when I heard they received this award and wrote a letter to congratulate them on that. But I do believe the church is working, Philippa. Now, there's always more that can be done. That I'll grant right away. Because whenever a human being, their dignity is ignored in such a profound way, it's really a scar to all of humanity.
My thanks there to Bishop Frank DeWayne of the Diocese of Venice in Florida and Laura Germino, anti-slavery coordinator for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.